We got to meet Mary and Bob, in the 80s, when Brother Lou was still coming to Texas to share the conferences. And Bob and Mary stayed with us several times during that period. And, you know, there was a connection of heart with them. And so when I found out they were moving, which I found out by accident, I was so excited. I just could hardly wait for Mary to get here. And Anna knew, and I was told I wasn't to say anything to anybody. But Ben was taking care of me physically back then, and I said something about it to him, and he said, yeah. He said, Anna needs somebody to talk to because she is so excited, and she can't tell anybody. So I was going through a bunch of surgeries at that point, and so Anna brought dinner to me and some flowers, very precious, and we talked about it, and we were both so excited. And you know, when Mary got here, I took the opportunity. I knew the riches that were in that dear sister, and I asked that we could get some time together. So, because of my leg, I couldn't drive. So, dear sister Lori came with me. And we spent the sweetest, richest times with her. And one thing she told us, and it's really sweet because it's also in these verses or these comments she made on the back. She said, sisters, love your husbands. Pray for them. And it was, you know, she never said anything to me that was coarse. This verse in the song, the way they care, not rough or long. To me, that was Mary. She always, when she would speak to us something we really needed to hear, she would say it in such a way that it never offended us. It just touched our heart. And I really appreciated when she said, sisters, so I'll repeat it to all you sisters, love your husbands. Pray for them. Thank you. That was very precious to me.
I'll follow that one because I, too, was so excited when I heard the Littles were moving here. And my experience goes back to 1975 or 76 when I first came in the church life. And I'd met a sister named Robin who was living with y'all, I believe. And I came down to visit. And the home was just so open and warm. And, you know, so then from then on, Mary knew who I was, and she would always greet me. And then Larry and I had the privilege to serve with them for a period of time in Russia. And it just was, you know, we just were doing practical things. We were folding yellow suits. And anybody who was ever there knows that we folded yellow suits. And we folded yellow suits. You know, and Mary just would head that up and, you know, take us all under her wing. And so when, and then I would see her at conferences and she would always greet me and ask how I was doing and ask how Larry was doing. And then when they moved here, I was just so excited. So I, you know, wanted to help her get set up and do a few things. And then about 2 years ago, about this time probably, because it was, you know, about 6 weeks into a semester, and she said, well, how is your classroom going? And I said, oh, Mary, it's okay. I just have this one boy. He's just, you know, something else. And all of you that teach know what I mean. And she looked at me, and this is what's so precious that stayed with me, is she said to me, sorry, have you prayed for him? And I realized at that point, oh, I hadn't prayed for him. I was trying to fix him. No, I was trying to fix, you know, something in him where, you know, the Lord needed to touch my heart. And later on that year, this little boy came up to me and he said to me, Mrs. DeCou,
you like me? I looked at him and I went, Lord Jesus. Because of those of you who teach and also know that feeling too. And I said, well, why would you ask? He said, well, the other kids say you don't like me. And I said, and I could honestly say to him, and this is only because of Mary, I pray for you all the time. What do you think? And he went, oh, okay. And he went off and he was happy. But I don't know that I could have said anything positive about about this, you know, my relationship with this young child. And so, I mean, that was who Mary was, you know. Honestly, you know, her response was, well, you need to pray for him. So, again, you know, love them, pray for them.
Well, I was with them in Russia folding those yellow suits. And I haven't spent a lot of time with Mary except for those 9 weeks when we were going in St. Petersburg, Russia, when we were going back and forth to all of these Dom Kulturi, these houses of culture, where we were having these gospel meetings. And the sisters' function was to travel there every day, rinse out the suits, hang them up, turn them inside, let them dry, turn them inside out, and fold them ready for the next meeting. Because we were the people were being baptized in these. They came unprepared to be baptized, so we had these suits. But as I was thinking about my time with Mary, I remember what stamina. She was 2 years older than I, but we were doing a lot of physical work, and it seemed like she was tireless. I'm 2 years younger than she. But I remember what a good example she was for us. And like Caroline said, she did kind of shepherd everybody. And I had a little situation back home. We'd left our son, and I was concerned, and so we fellowshipped some. I don't remember her exact words, but they were a comfort to me. And I just remember what a pattern she was to all of us in her service and in her enjoyment of the Lord. And, you know, as you get older, the younger ones look and they say, you're a pattern to us. And I think, you know, I don't feel like I'm a pattern to anybody. But I've often thought of what a pattern Mary was. And even I've thought through the years at different times, I wonder what Mary would do. Because she was such a such an example, such a good shepherd to us and to her family. I was always so amazed at how she could serve the Lord, put the Lord first, and also take care of her family in such a wonderful way. Well, anyway, all of us who knew her have a real pattern of how to live a godly life.
I married that well, but no, I was so excited. No, that they moved to Arlington. And I heard so much about a story about their, you know, their life for the Lord. Certainly want to grab opportunity. So we try to invite them over, you know, but never really happened. But actually one time they called us to invite us to over their house. And not just us, have the other two couples with us. And it was just really, that was just so simple meal. But yeah, that meal I will never forget. It was just really touch. You know, they just moved here. They're almost over 80, and yet, you know, they got a phone list. They want to invite all their saints week by week to know them. To, you know, and I just thought that would just even touch me. You know, and I'm glad our last name is Edward, so we got invited. You know, we have this opportunity, and but it was so sweet, just chatting, talking, and they try to know us, all three of the couples and our kids, you know, and up to point, and you know, they just ask. I don't like people ask my kids sometimes, you know, because I have some difficulty. And yeah, it's so sweet. You know, we just fellowship and then they just basically say, you just need to love them, just pray for them, you know. And I even know even one of the kids maybe have, you know, trouble. No, maybe not like ours at worst, but anyway, you know. And I just feel like they're with me, you know. That we always same situation, but we just need to pray. You know, sometimes I just start really remind you how much I pray for them. You know, just like a sister just shared. Sometimes you just feel like that person is so unlovable, but yeah, you know, the sense just remind me again. We all need to pray for each other. I just so touched, even just a little opportunity. I wish that, you know, Mary can live longer. We all have all opportunity to even know this precious one.
Yeah. Sure. First of all, I just want to thank the family. I didn't know Mary. We're kind of latecomers into the recovery. And so, you know, I was excited they were moving here, but we didn't know her. And she got sick pretty quick after she moved here. So I just want to thank the family for letting us, some of us, help with her care. You know, there's enough of y'all, you probably could have banded together and done it. If you hadn't let us help, I'd have never gotten to know her or the privilege of just some time with her. Anyway, such a blessing, such a pattern. You couldn't spend more than a few minutes with her without just spontaneous prayer welling up in her, either for another situation, your situation, whatever, the recovery in general. That was just the kind of sister she was. She had enough Christ in her that if you were talking to her a few minutes, you know, you were praying. But one of the very first times I was at her house was just really sweet. A quick story. I was doing something. I was just taking care of a little something. And I was going to leave. And as I started to leave, she is sick, you know. And as I'm starting to leave, she was like, no, wait. And she had a card out on the table already prepared with a pen there. Before you leave, write down the names of all your children and their spouses. And so that was just a little, you know, a little thing that really stuck with me. She took care of her love.
In my senior year of college, I was in San Francisco, and we took a blending trip to the East Coast. And one of the places we stopped at was Dunloring, Virginia, and Bob and Mary were there. And what most of the people on that trip didn't know was that 2 weeks prior, my mom had walked out on my family. She left my dad, and so I was really struggling with just even believing in God at that point. Mm. And I had heard stories of, because my mom went to college in Dunloring, and so she had actually come into the church life and been saved through, you know, some of the saints there, including Bob and Mary, and so they knew my mom very well. And so when I got there, it's just part of this blending trip, struggling with everything inwardly. Somehow Bob and Mary had recognized me, probably from a family trip that we had taken when I was a small kid. And anyways, they came up to me in the parking lot afterwards, and Mary just inquired about my mom. And so I just frankly told her that I didn't know because my mom had left. And she was very quiet for a moment, and then she just said, we haven't really heard anything about your mom in the last 20 years, but we've still been praying for her all this time. And in that moment, I knew that God had to be real, because how could somebody still pray for someone that they hadn't had any news about for 20 years? How could a person have that care and that love? And anyhow, that really shepherded me, and that really struck me that, you know, whatever was going on in my personal life, there was still something more. And that was that the Lord is real, and the Lord is working, and the Lord is after something. And then about 7 years later, I moved to Texas, and they happened to be here. And I went over after a meeting to greet Bob and Mary, and the first thing that Mary said to me was, we're still praying for you and for your family. And so anyways, I just really appreciate that. What a testimony and what a pattern. Love them and pray for them. It's the sweetest thing that I have experienced relating to Mary.
Praise the Lord. The first time I met Sister Mary was in 1973 when I first came to the church in Arlington, in Los Angeles. I didn't know her, but one day we moved into this apartment and she came with one of her sons, who I don't know which one. They brought a couch to us, to my husband and I, in our apartment. And actually, honestly speaking, I have not even seen her before. So she and her son, one of the sons, brought a couch and put it in our, you know, brought it to our house, you know, our apartment, and put it there. And I, briefly after that, I don't know, I think they migrated somewhere. So I never knew them for a long time. But my husband got to know them, so he always would tell me, sometimes we see Brother Bob speaking somewhere, and he would say, that's Brother Bob, you know. And then we came here to Arlington, and Brother Tom Little also moved here, and we found out that that was her son. So kind of relating, you know. Then when my daughter was going to college, she was in the Washington area, and she told me that Sister Mary used to pick her up from the train station to her house to eat lunch with her after the Lord's Day meetings. So she used to tell me about how she enjoyed being in her home, you know, how she picked her up from the train station to bring her home to eat with her. And then we heard that they were moving here. We were really happy that they were coming here. And shortly after they arrived here, they invited us to their home to have dinner with them. And we had dinner with them. And it was a very sweet time in their house. We had some time together. We read the morning revival together. We prayed. And then after that, there were times when we were serving here in the meeting hall, and Sister Mary and Stephanie, we stand in the hallway with Sister Mary. We are just praying for what's going on, you know, the meeting, praying for the saints, praying for the young people's meeting. And I just really appreciated this sister, her spirit, just her love and care for the saints. And since she has been sick, we didn't have much opportunity to go visit her or cook for her or do too much for her, but once in a while I would call her, and most of the time she wasn't there. I left a message. When she got sicker, when she couldn't call me back, I went to visit her recently in the hospital with Stephanie, and she was apologizing to me for not calling me back. And I said, don't worry about that. I was just calling to ask about you. And I just really appreciate this sister just being here with us, just a pattern to us, because she is a praying person, and you can see that she is just a caring person. Amen. She cares and loves the saints. Amen. And she loves the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. My husband and I had the privilege to serve with Bob and Mary on the campus team in Dunloring, Virginia. And for a time, Mary was my prayer partner, which was an amazing experience for a new full-timer. And it was so impressive to me that, among many things, she, you know, we would have these prayer times together in one of her guest rooms that were always set up for anyone to come stay at any time. And she always entered into prayer with me in mutuality. There was, even though, you know, I could have been her granddaughter, she was never, it was a real shepherding to me and a real perfecting to me to learn to pray with someone in such a, there was no feeling of inferiority or superiority, but really a mutual prayer. And for her to be willing to do that with me was a real privilege. And I learned so much from Mary. you know, we would have coronation in their home almost every morning, and she always had a box of Kleenex on almost every surface, so everyone could always, which we appreciated a lot. And she was so hospitable and willing to open her home. You know, for a period of time, we had a home meeting there with almost all Chinese students, and Bob, Mary, and I. That was a real shepherding to me, to see their care for the members of the body, and their shepherding indiscriminately for whoever needed care. They were open and willing to care for them. Not culturally, not nothing outward, but because of their burden and their willingness to care for the members in the body.
Amen.
That's always been a real pattern to me. And then in their relationship with one another, I would say for Isaac and I, that's always been our pattern, is to see. You know, Mary's a really strong person, and she was always willing to submit to her husband, and that's really been a pattern to me. I really appreciate that about my sister, to see their pattern of love for one another and shepherding together, laboring together for all the sheep. They cared for all the members. So I'm so thankful to be here and hear the family stories today, and really appreciate the pattern of our sister.
I don't have to share.
No,
I
had a relationship with Mary in prayer.
Is it on?
And it was very precious that the Lord gave me that honor to pray together. And when we arrived here, she knew she was passing. She even shared some things that made it very obvious that her days to her were not that long. But the first thing, almost, when we were had a little time together, was her concern for the suffering saints here and back in D.C., and specific ones that shared cancer that were really on her heart. And a little example of how she really cared for the others. You know, when you're in the hospital, you don't particularly like to be there alone. And the night that she was taken in the middle of the night, she had to stay. We were in the emergency first there with her, and then we were in the hospital room. And then it came nighttime, and I forgot who said, Carol will stay with you tonight. And when whoever it was left, because a lot of things have gone on since that I can't remember, but her voice just constantly echoed how selfless she was, because her response was, "Oh, Carol, oh, Carol." What she was saying was, I didn't want you to stay and have to be here tonight. You didn't need to do that. And she didn't say those words. She just said, "Oh, Carol, oh, Carol." And I said, "Mary, sorry, this isn't for you. This is for me." Because I realized, even to the end, she was just beholding the Lord. Another just little example of this was her last night in that hospital before she came home the next day. She had a nurse, and that nurse was obviously not believing, but she wasn't speaking at that point, and I'm not sure really whether she was sleeping or not. There was no more furrow of pain in her brow. Her face was so pleasant, and she had this gentle smile all night long. It never changed, just this smile.
Wow.
And her nurse would come in, who obviously was not believing and didn't particularly want to hear anything about the Lord. She would stop at the end of the bed and just gaze at her. Wow. I love that smile.
Wow.
I love that smile. And she did it all through the night. She stopped several times. And at one point I did try to say something about what that smile came from. And again, she didn't want to hear that, but I knew she will not lightly forget the mystery of that smile because she knew Mary was passing.
Amen. Amen. As one who is... Okay. Okay. Amen.
Never used one. Well, I came into the church life 40 years ago, almost 40 years ago. I was from this large Irish Catholic family in Boston, but somehow the Lord had appeared to me and I got regenerated and I came to D.C. And in those days, there were a bunch of young sisters. I represent many. And Bob and Mary, they were the patterns, and they were the ones. So I've known Mary for 40 years. I got married. I had 5 kids, and it seemed to me like Mary was there for almost every major event in my life. I could say about Mary, when she looked at me, this is how I feel. I feel like she loved me, just the way I am. She was there for the good times and she was there for the hard times. You know, when you were around Mary, you touched someone who had a backbone, and I paid close attention to her. So, right before they left, there were a bunch of sisters helping them move. She had these flowers, and I was there, and she brought them over and she gave them to me. And we said goodbye. And I just am so thankful. She was my mother. She was my spiritual mother. And my being here and my family, we owe a lot to Bob and Mary.
Amen. My family lived in Virginia. So we get to meet Sister Mary and Brother Bob. And then we were meeting in Virginia Beach, so they would always come and visit. But I get to know them much more when, you know, after our daughter finished the training, she went to, she was working, serving full-time at George Mason. And so I would always go to Don Loring to the meetings. And then, you know, Sister Mary would see me or see us, and then a smile. I remember that smile. I will never forget that smile on her face. And then she would just, after the meeting is over, just to come to me and then say hello, such a wonderful greeting. Do you see the light? Then my youngest son was accepted at George Mason. So I called Sister Mary. I let her know about it. We had such wonderful fellowship. But then the other thing was the week for moving day, she called me and then she told me that, you know, I will give you all hospitality. You will stay at my home. I was so touched by that. And we had such lovely fellowship that day and for that evening. And then such a nice rest. And the next morning, she got up very early and cooked us such a wonderful, delicious, healthy breakfast. And then, you know, and then Brother Bob, you know, came. He helped us, you know, move everything in the dorm because my husband was not there at the time. So all through the time, you know, every time I meet Sister Mary, it was such a wonderful greeting, and it was such a wonderful time to really know them. You know, for Brother Bob and the Littles, verse 8 of that hymn that we just sang, thou art a sun, thou art a shield, thou grace and glory will supply, thy presence and thy very self, my need in fullness satisfy. Amen. This is really real. Amen. You know, less than a year ago, I mean, I was in that, was, you know, my mom passed. And these words, these became very real to me. Amen. So it is very real.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just to continue, just Just a short, when our son went to, our baby son went to university, my wife stayed at the Littles, and of course, the sister Mary had Brother Bob move our son, you know, and he was there. He was moving stuff, you know, just like, you know, moving stuff up and in the dorms. He also showed him a shortcut, you know, and he says, "Oh, he showed me a shortcut."
No shortcut.
So, you know, we were very thankful. I mean, that might seem kind of insignificant and small, but he said, "Oh, he showed me a shortcut," you know, and moved all his belongings to the dorm. Of course, Sister Mary had him do all of that stuff, you know. So we are very thankful. Amen.
Good morning, Saints. I just wanted to give a brief testimony regarding my Aunt Mary on behalf of my wife, Joy Little, and I. You know, always through the years in Tennessee and Georgia before that, when Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary would come through for a visit, sometimes on their way out to the trainings, it was always a joy. We very much treasured it, me and all of my siblings. In August of 2014, my wife and three children were living in New Hampshire, and I was in a car accident that put me in the hospital for some time. And then we got home, and I could not walk. My wife, we had a six-month-old and two other small children. And within a day or two of getting home, Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary showed up at the door. And I just really feel, just to give thanks to the Lord and really honor my Aunt Mary, brothers and sisters, we really saw the Lord's resurrection, his life, and this word forbearance. She just fitted right in with our family and what we were doing. We were in desperate need. She dropped what she was doing and stayed with us for a period of time. Lived there, shopped for us, did laundry, took the kids down to get an ice cream. These are all practical matters, but I just appreciated how she poured out. You know, in Matthew 20:28, the Lord, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And she came to us in that time and just served us. So praise the Lord, Uncle Bob. I really loved Aunt Mary. She was really a sweet blessing to this family.
Amen.
Well, I'm Pat Little, John Little's wife, and I want to go back in time quite a long time ago when I was a very new believer, and Bob and Mary, I was probably only a couple years in the Lord, and Bob and Mary were going to be going to Indonesia to be missionaries. And I thought, oh my goodness, how could anybody do that? And they went with a missionary society that you went by faith. There was no guaranteed support. You just went by faith, and whatever the Lord provided, that's how you would be cared for. And that just shocked me because, you know, even the short time I was in the denomination, I was just used to people being supported. And so I was really worried about them and concerned. But the highlight of that whole time was Mary's unwavering support for Bob. Mm. In his feeling and in her oneness to follow him wherever the Lord would take them. And I remember them having their children, and they didn't go on a luxury liner across the ocean. They went on a tanker or freighter, one of those things that you would not expect to see passengers. So I just remember they had Sam.
And a halter and a leash.
Yes. Sam had like a dog halter and a leash because I don't think it was made for kids, but
but they so he would not go overboard.
Right.
Mary was very stalwart. She was strong constitutionally, but Sam, so high, was also very strong.
And
4 years old.
And so just that. That whole picture just left such a strong impression. I did not know what my future would behold. We were not in the Lord's recovery at the time. They went to the mission field, and eventually the Lord brought us into the Lord's recovery. And I remember after we came into the church in Los Angeles, both John and I had the strong feeling, this is where Bob and Mary will be. When the Lord brings them back home, we just knew, because they had been such a pattern to us. They had poured their life out, given themselves to the Lord, and we knew they would be in the Lord's recovery. So we prayed for them. They were on the mission field for 5 years, and don't know if you all know the story, but Mary came home very ill. I believe she had hepatitis. And Anna was a baby, and Anna was very ill. And so Bob, if I don't know if I remember the details correctly, but Bob called John, you know, what do we do? And you have to understand, John's family were all Christians, but really in the denomination, and they kind of thought Uncle Bob was a little crazy, you know, for going to the mission field, not with the denomination, you know. And so he had nowhere. His mother had passed on. He had nowhere to turn. And so we referred him to the brothers in L.A. And, of course, while they were in the mission field, I don't know if it was weekly, it was at least monthly, but we gave an update to the saints in Los Angeles, read their letters. And so the saints in Los Angeles were praying for them. So it's like the Lord had prepared everything. So they came home. Bob contacted the brothers, and they just took care of them and got the medical attention she needed. They moved a sister. They set them up in a house, moved a sister in with them who's still serving the Lord to this day. I think she's in Europe. Bonnie Short?
No, she's in, I think, Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Well, she was in
Minnesota.
Yeah.
She really gets around.
Anyway, moved this single sister in with them to care for them. And so I just worship the Lord for his ways. You know, he's faithful to his believers, to his seekers. And Mary was a pattern to me. I was so young in the Lord. I was not raised in a Christian home. I got saved after I met my husband. And really, I believe it was through his mother's prayers that I came to the Lord. But just to see how the Lord just works in our lives step by step, and don't ever give up praying. The Lord will answer our prayers when it's according to his will.
Amen. I'm really so thankful to be here today, that we could hear these things about our sister, that some of us, I haven't known a lot of what has been shared about Mary, but I have been a recipient of her shepherding. And I came to the Church Life, well, first met the saints in 1978 in Washington, D.C., and my first experience was being brought to Bob and Mary's home with their 5 children and a very small home and 2 sisters living there. I really don't know how they did that, but they did it. And that was the most memorable dinner I have had in my entire life. It was so chaotic and so much fun, really. And after that, they brought me to a meeting, a video meeting with this little Chinese man sharing, and I thought, well, what happened here? But I couldn't escape because I didn't have a car. That was in 1978, and it took a year of shepherding me before I actually, the Lord showed me, this is your home. And I just, in those years, well, many, many years, actually, I was shepherded by Bob and Mary, especially by Sister Mary, and I lived with them for, I think, about 5 years. Without, you know, the shepherding of Bob and Mary and the other saints there in Dunloring, I'm quite positive I wouldn't have gone to the full-time training. My whole life would have been totally different. I'm not sure if I would be here today. their home was always open to me. It was home for me. I can't express to you. And because I lived there, I saw how Mary shepherded the saints. I saw how their home was open. I saw how they would always drop everything to take the saints, whoever came for hospitality in that area. Most likely they would come to their home. And now we live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. There's a family there, the Sandlins, and before we came here, Janice told me, she said, you know, now they have, there's 8 children, but at that time there were 6, and she said, well, we came to Washington, D.C. with our 6 kids, and Bob and Mary put us up, and they took care of us so well. They I guess they'd come to do some sightseeing, but no matter what the reason was, anybody came to their house. They got good care. Just thank the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. For such a pattern.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As one who has worked in the medical profession for a number of years, I always felt like the best way to depart and be with the Lord is to have a heart attack in your sleep. But after watching Mary's departure, I have to declare to you, I want to live like Mary, and I want to die like Mary. Amen. She came home from the hospital to the house because she wanted to die at home on Friday afternoon. And, of course, we had a time together with the family. And then, of course, Saturday, we got together again, and I left to go somewhere. And Anna called me around lunchtime and said, man, you got to come home soon. They don't think she has much time. So Davis and I turned around, and we came home as fast as we could. And I tell you what I saw. The whole family and some very precious saints were gathered around her bed. They were singing. They were praying. They were praising the Lord. Then, of course, Bob sees me come in. I'm a little late, and he says, Ben, now you pray. Walk in. I begin to pray. Marvelous things flowed out from so many that were there. And I just want to tell my boys, you know, when I'm 95 and I'm on my deathbed, I want you to bring your mother with her walker and your wives and my granddaughters. Never had a daughter. And I want y'all to pray. And I want y'all to praise. And I want y'all to sing. Like others have shared, I was so happy whenever I heard that Mary and Bob were going to move here. I was happy for my wife. Even though I don't look like it, I took her for mother 25 years ago. I was probably too young to be doing that, Benson. But I was so glad she was able to have 2 years with her mom, seeing her every day. I was so happy for my kids, because they didn't get to be with her for a long time. She prayed for them. She ministered to them. She came to watch football. Watch them play football. I'm happy for myself. Anna said, you're finally going to have a good cook. I'd like to thank the Lord for our sister Mary. Amen. What a pattern she's been for all of us. May we all live like her and even go to be with the Lord just like her. Amen.
I think, you know, you hear me? I think, you know, if you read the program, you'll see, I'm on verse by me. You'll see our program. We have 14 grandchildren and now 4 great-grandchildren. So, and this little guy is the youngest of our great-grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
I'm already confused. Have mercy on me. I want to testify to all of you The Lord graced our family the last days of Mary's life when she was conscious, could speak, and have a mutual interchange. She was alive, very weak, very difficult, but she cared for each one. She loved each one. She spoke with each one. And towards the end, I realized this was a gift, a special gift from the Lord to our family. What? We could pour out all our love on this dear one. Right up to the end. For all of you, I assume you know it. I didn't know it. But they told us, she is able to hear you, even if she's unconscious, up to the last minute of her life. So if she can respond, you speak to her. Speak to her again. Speak to her the beauty of the flowers.
Amen.
Speak to her how much you love her.
Amen.
How much you appreciate her.
Amen.
Well, towards the end, Anna took the boys and Benson Newcomb came, right? Anyway, the three boys, and had them one by one with Mary. And that was Wednesday. It was September the 20th, 21st. Anyway, this little boy to us is special. Why? He's our last grandson. And this is special. Why? She's our last daughter. You know, you're all the same. Your last one, you baby. You treasure. You put everything you have into that last one because they're so special to you. Actually, she is the only one of our family that has dual citizenship. She was born in Indonesia. She has automatically Indonesian citizenship. She can go back anytime she wants. I doubt if she will.
Easy.
But anyway, she can. I have to get a special visa, not her. Anyway, our heart at the end of having children was, even before Anna was conceived, we wanted to have at least two more so the youngest would have a companion. Because we know how difficult it is without a brother or without a sister. But anyway, God's sovereign. She got sick. When we came into the church life, she had hepatitis. But I want you, maybe you have to read it together. You need to handle it? I want you all to hear what he poured out on his grandma. Here, hold on a minute. I'll hold it.
Let me just say, on Tuesday, this was Tuesday the 20th, Mom decided not to do any more treatment. And the doctor said, maybe 1 to 2 weeks. So that was September 20th. So we felt to tell the boys. And I said, you can go up to the hospital, but she wants to come home. And it was hard. Then Brooks came down the stairs about 10:30, and he said, Mom, I have to see Grandma. I have to see her tomorrow. Okay. So we went, and she was very... You know what? Pray for him. He's 12, so we're asking a lot of him. But his portion is for all of us. That's why we're doing this, Brooks. His right. portion is our portion. Okay, so anyway, we went, and he had a very special, each one had a very special 5 to 7 minutes, and she spoke a special word, and they will have that. Right? Right? It was very special, and the next day she was asleep. And I said, the Lord told you, Brooke, you have to go. And they had that. So the next morning, mothers pick up their son's cell phones and other codes. I just checked, and the first line I saw was, oh, Lord Jesus. And I thought, whose email does he have? Anyway, do you want me to read it? Okay, so this is after we told the boys that it would be soon. And again, bear with him, bear with us. This is his personal journal, but this is a portion for all of us. Oh, Lord Jesus, September 20th, 8 p.m., 2016, one of the saddest days of my life. The best grandma in the world only has around 2 weeks to live. I love her so much. Thank you for everything, Grandma. I will pursue the Lord like you want me to and have my kids and my whole family see the church. I will be a speaker, Lord. Cause me to grow more in you day by day, Lord. Thank you for everything, Lord. Grandma, you were there for my mom, aunts, uncles, cousins, my brothers, and me. Thank you. The Lord is the only one that can comfort us. And that is the embodiment of my mom right here. Right? Thank you. How many times did he say thank you? Thank you, Lord. And she told Tom and I and Dad when we said, Mom, you know, she was comforting us. We said, you know, it'll be soon. She said, it's okay. It's okay. She said, the Spirit will comfort you. She was peaceful. She was comforting us. We were trying to comfort her. She was comforting us. But that was her portion. She poured out. She poured out. And all of you, she loved you just as much as she loved us.
If you have a pencil, you can write on your program. I'd like to give you a few verses. And later you can get into it, the recovery version, the footnotes. Even if you have the life studies, that'd be wonderful. I broke it down into five parts. First one is Colossians 2, 1 through 7. And this is the mystery of God. The next is Ephesians 2, 3 through 11. And Ephesians 5, 23 through 33. This is the mystery of Christ. And the next one is Colossians 1, 24 through 29. This is the mystery of God's economy. And the last one in this level is 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, and this is the mystery of lawlessness. If you want to escape this age, take these verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21, and Luke 21, 33 through 36. I don't think I'll elaborate other than I think it's only because of the ministry of the age and the revelation that the Lord has given to all of us in the Lord's recovery, that we even heard or saw the mystery of God. We even heard and saw and experienced the mystery of Christ. That, of course, is marvelous. Both of those mysteries are unveiled to us. But even in the Lord's recovery, I'm a little bit fearful, we haven't seen the mystery of God's economy. What is that? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
And the last one is very deceptive because just like John painted, it's the mystery of lawlessness. It's invisible. The spirit of the evil one is in everyone who's lawless and disobedient. And of course we see the outward. To us it's pretty obvious. But I want to say the mystery of lawlessness is very, very mysterious. And thank God we have a way to get out. Amen. Leave this age. Every believer has the right to know and see what God has given to us. And we do believe and testify that the Lord has given this mercy and this revelation to us.
Amen.
And we all corporately want to be these kind of people, right?
Amen.
Living unto the Lord.
Amen.
Living to the Lord, living Christ. When I heard that in the mid-70s, I thought, what in the world does that mean? Live Christ. Just live Christ. Live Christ. Thank God we know, at least we know a little bit, right? We're learning. We're practicing. Now, I just want to share. I think, one little experience towards the last. You know, on that Tuesday when Tom, Anna, and I heard from this top doctor, Dr. Bouchon, in the hallway about Mom's situation and the options she had. Excuse me. No, I want to add something first before I go on. My wife and I have been in hospitals off and on all our life. And we always had a pact between us. Don't ever leave me alone in the hospital. And we meant it. And by God's grace and mercy, we've tried to carry that out. But this hospital, Medical City, in Dallas, Texas, is at the top of the line. And I told Mary, Mary, I feel peaceful. I've never been in a hospital like that in my whole life. I've never had such care, nor has my wife had such care. And I was comfortable. And of course, the families helped to stay, so I consider them me. And Carol, Jim, they've stayed. And they begged to stay. Anyway, I just feel like, I told Mary, I said, Mary, I'm peaceful. They're going to take care of you. And they did. To me, we went like from a 50 Ford to a 70, what, I don't know, to an 80, to maybe I don't think we got above an 80 car, model car. But when we got to this hospital, I want to tell you, it's Cadillac. It's the highest of the care and service of humanity, irregardless race, color, creed, or anything. Human beings. They have the highest quality of human beings on the earth. Marvelous. So if you ever have to go to a hospital, go to Medical City. Anyway, it's tremendous. I hope you don't have to go. Anyway, okay. The shock that Tom and Anna and I had, Dr. Bouchon, in a very gracious way, Vikas Bouchon. And he called us out in the hallway. Anyway, there was one way, because, of course, now she not only has multiple myeloma, she has plasma cell leukemia. And he said, there is one. He said, I never would treat a person in this condition 80 years or over. But he said, every time I see you, you're so, I can't believe you have this disease. Mm. He said, we got to get in and test it and really find out, is this so? Do you really have plasma cell leukemia? And he said, I talked to the doctor that he knew before, very close friends, and he said, every time I see you, I just can't believe it. But he said, I'll go over the records, we'll get into it, and I'll give you a response in a couple of days. And that was Tuesday. And, of course, we didn't know when he'd come, but one of the nurses helped us, and they told us, just when they come, let them know. I'll be there as soon as I can. We met him about 1:30 in the afternoon. Anyway, he presented the first option. We can give her treatment. And it's very serious. It's life-threatening. And gave us the options. She might be able to live 2 months. Possibly, if she's strong, maybe 6 months. Unusually so, maybe 1 year. And he said, you have to realize the first treatment might kill her. Then he said, about hospice. You have the option to go into hospice, because Mary wanted to be at home. Yeah. And anyway, and he told us, and then we asked him, how long do you think she has? Probably about a week or two. That's Tuesday, not this last week, but the week previous. Right? So, of course, we were all clear. No need for her to suffer anymore. Why go through all the pain, suffering? She's gone through enough for the last 2 years. And we, you know, echoed in Mom, echoed in all the children. We don't want her to have to suffer anymore. She suffered enough. So Of course, when he told us a week or 2 weeks, I thought, you know, from the time getting out of the hospital. So she stayed. Why? The doctor's philosophy is, his expression, get her tank full. All the blood she needs, all the platelets she needs, deal with all the infection, kill all the infection, get her at the height, and then release her. Well, it went on. It took a long time. Anyway, on Friday, right? Mm-hmm. Friday she was released. Two young novice EMTs. But anyway, I think they did what they could. And they gave me the option to sit in the back with her. Normally I'd sit in the front seat with the driver. And I said, yeah, I want to take it. So I got in the ambulance with her. And the usual course, I was holding her hands, and the usual course all the way to home, I knew it. I've driven it hundreds of times. I told her exactly where we were, what we were doing. Her eyes were closed at that time, but she heard me. So we're riding in the ambulance, and it took longer than I expected, and longer than I did it. I mean, here we're in an ambulance, I think you'd go a little faster, but it didn't go that fast. So anyway, I have a hold of her hands, her arms. She's peaceful. They got the blood pressure machine on her. They're monitoring everything. And all of a sudden, I begin to talk to this young man. His name is Raul. And the whole way from the hospital to home, I preached the gospel, God's eternal economy.
Amen.
To Raul, about 24 years old, and he listened. And as I'm speaking, Mary's saying, amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. And she raises her hand. Amen.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So this young man hears, as I'm sharing the gospel, I gave him the full dose from Genesis to Revelation.
Gen Rev.
And we prayed. We've been praying for him. His name was Raul. It was marvelous. My companion was absolutely one with me.
Amen.
This last period of our lives together.
Amen.
And I honestly say, I feel like it was the grace of the Lord. Now, just sitting here, hearing John, my sons, you, the Lord showed me that was Mary. Because she lived that kind of life. She lived so we could live that kind of life. We could pour all our love out. Let's pour all our love out on the Lord now. All our love out on the saints now. Don't wait for later. Do it all now. And you feel released, free, rejoicing. Praise God.
Amen.
Saints, as I was holding her hand and she went to be with the Lord, I saw it visibly. It was an amazing experience. I saw when her spirit and soul left her mortal body in peace.
Amen.
Oh, we were singing and shouting, hallelujah!
Amen.
It's a loss to us, but a great gain.
Amen.
To the triune God.
Amen.
And I just want to say to all of you, you know, it's a little late for meeting, but that's okay. You don't mind missing a half hour, right? Anyway, if there's something in your heart that you would want to say, or some experience, or some fellowship, or some relationship that you have, please convey it. We've got 5 kids. One of them is going to have to go right away. Are you going to have to go right away?
No.
Anyway, pass it on to them and the grandkids that are here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know everything. I'm the grandpa. I'm the great-grandpa. They always bring it back to me. It's wonderful. It's treasures. It's the joy. Well, thank you from the depths of our heart. Every one of you, if you have to go, fine. That all, we'd love for you to stay just so we have fellowship. I don't know whether there's a...
Amen. Let's conclude by standing and singing hymn 3, verse 1 only. Let's sing it twice, and then we'll have a couple of brothers pray.
revealing to her your economy, your purpose, Christ and the church. Lord, thank you for giving her eyes to see it. Thank you for giving her the grace to live it.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you for her living, for her experience, for her testimony, for her pattern. Lord, and we thank you for constituting her.
Amen.
Constituting her with the divine life, with the Word of God, with the New Testament ministry.
Amen.
And Lord, we worship you for seeing this constitution.
Amen.
Seeing it in her children,
Amen.
In her family,
Amen.
In the saints,
Amen.
Even in the churches.
Amen.
Lord, we worship you today.
Amen.
Thank you, we're in the same economy.
Amen.
Thank you, we can see the divine revelation,
Amen.
Even the high peak of the divine revelation.
Amen.
We can live the God-man living.
Amen.
We can shepherd according to God,
Amen.
Just like our sister.
Amen.
Thank you for this pattern.
Amen.
Thank you for this gathering.
Amen.
Thank you for this encouragement.
Amen.
Thank you for this light.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Amen.
Before Ben gives a little instruction online, the most important is the female life. They bear the heaviest burden, the biggest burden, and the most responsibility. Not the husband, the wife. And corporately, saints, we're all the wife. But I mean on the practical side. I never cooked in my life. Best I could do is cook a hamburger and make a peanut butter sandwich. I never really did the wash that much. I never really cleaned the house that much. There's a multitude of things for a wife, a mother, to care for. So you ought to thank the Lord for a dear wife.
Amen.
Who cares for your own, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your husband.
Amen.
A dear wife. They're precious in God's sight.
Amen.
Very, very needful. Maybe you'll learn, but I'd encourage you, give your wife a break and do her work. See how much they have to. You'll get a new revelation.
New revelation. Amen. Well, again, we'd like to thank you all for coming. We do have some refreshments on the back part of the building back here.